We are different, okay? At 68, I'm probably older than most of you that listen. We may share some things, you know. I mean, I love chocolate. You know, some people they get their caffeine from coffee. I get my caffeine from chocolate. Unfortunately, you can tell that I like chocolate. And there's other things that you and I maybe share in common like that. And there's other things not so much. Okay, I mean, like watermelon. I do not like watermelon. Most people think I'm crazy because I don't like watermelon, but I just don't care for it. But my wife and I were Honda people. We've owned, I don't know, 8 or 10 Hondas during our married life. And just really like they're a good car and dependable and. You know, they're not inexpensive. I mean, they're more inexpensive than a lot of other cars out there. But so we like those. And I like warm weather. Okay. That's why we live in Florida. Okay. And I have no desire. We grew up in Western New York, southwest of Buffalo, where we got over 200 inches of snow a year. And I don't like that. Okay. Some people love the snow. You know, they wouldn't want to live down here. And that's fine. You know, I've been a Cleveland Browns fan for 60 years. The years when Cleveland was doing really well, and that's not the way it's been the last too many years. And we're Duke basketball fans, okay? When we lived in Delaware and Maryland, everybody there, or most people, were Maryland fans. And as far as the Browns go, when we lived in Western New York, people were Bills fans. When we lived in Delaware and Maryland, people were Baltimore Ravens fans, and so we're just different in a lot of different ways. So that's the way God makes us. You know, we're not all identical in our likes, dislikes, our loves, our hates, whatever it might be. But well, let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for the differences that you have made in us, that we're individuals, I guess is the best way to put it. And that's the way you made us to be. That you didn't just punch out cookie cutter people. That even in our likes of Christian music, some people love the hymns, which are fine. Some people love Christian rap. Some people love like a heavy metal Christian, whatever it might be. And, you know, we're just so different in so many ways. And so we need to celebrate that because that was your idea. Okay, we need to realize that that's not a bad thing, that sometimes we have to agree to disagree in different areas. But no matter what, Father, we just give you thanks for knowing that we all have you, the same God. That you've sent us all the same Savior. And so, Father, what a blessing that that is. So, Lord, help us to just get the message that you have for us today. Lord, just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, even though we're different in so many areas of our lives, there's one area that we are all the same. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter the color of our skin, the language that we speak, doesn't matter how old we are. Our politics don't enter into it. Our favorite sports teams doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or other. I saw that on an application a while ago. Are you male, female, or other? Not sure what that is, but so no matter what, there's one area that we are all alike. And that area is we all sin. Okay, no doubt about it. Now, I know some people that are really, really great people, or some people that have died, you know, Diane's parents were excellent folks. And there are people that we know that are strong Christians. They maybe serve in a lot of different ways in the church and in the community, and you know, any way that they can find to serve. You know, they give abundantly to different projects, to the the fire department, to the church, to missionaries, to the Boy Scouts, whatever it might be. And they're always putting other people before themselves. And if they're Christians, you know, they're living the scripture. You know, you can see that. You don't have to ask if they're a Christian. You can tell by the way they live their life that they're a Christian. But they still sin. Now, I may not be aware of the sins that they commit, but I know that they sin. Well, how do I know this? Well, we're going to take a look at Romans in chapter 7. And Paul is talking there in 7 and 8 about the fight that we have against sin. And I like the way he begins his passage. So let's listen to Romans 7, verse 7 through 12. And this is from the New Century Version. Paul says, "You might think that I'm saying that sin and the law are the same thing. That's not true. But the law was the only way I could learn what sin meant. I would never have known what it means to want to take something belonging to someone else if the law had not said, you must not take your neighbor's things. And sin has found a way to use that command and cause me to want all kinds of things that I should not want. But without the law, sin has no power. I was alive before I knew the law. But when the law's command came to me, then sin began to live, and I died. The command was meant to bring life, but for me, it brought death. Sin found a way to fool me by using the command to make me die. So the law is holy, and the command is holy, and right, and good." What Paul is saying is sin happens. Okay? It happens to the best of us. It happens to your sweet little old lady Sunday school teacher. It happens to your grandma. It happens to Billy Graham. And it happened to Paul. Now, 1 Timothy 1:15 in the New Living Translation, this is what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." If I think that I was going to compile a list of who I thought were the top 10 sinners, I would have names like Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Idi Amin, Jeffrey Dahmer, Devin Kelly, the man that went into the church in Texas and slaughtered 26 people. But Paul would not make that list. I don't care how long that list got. You know, if I was going to make a list of the top 1 billion sinners in the world, Paul still wouldn't be on that list. But he makes a point that we can't miss. That is that Christ came to save sinners. All sinners. Not just you and me. Not just people that seem to have a little sin in their lives, but all sinners. Even those that I named before for my top 10 list. Okay? And others that are even worse. Because no one is too good to be saved. But praise God, no one is too bad to be saved. There's nobody that's too poor. Okay, the homeless people that you see, the people that are living in Haiti and other countries where, you know, the annual salary is like $500 a year. So nobody's too poor. Nobody's too rich. Okay, Bill Gates, I heard he's no longer the richest man in the world. It's the guy that owns Amazon. I don't know what his name is. He's the richest man in the world now. But he's not too rich to be saved. Nobody's too black or too white or too yellow or too red or too brown to be saved. Nobody's too intelligent to be saved, even though some people think they are. And nobody is too uneducated to be saved. Nobody is too old to be saved. And no one is too young to be saved. And if Paul was the worst sinner of all, he knew that he was saved. So the point that he was trying to make is this. If I am the worst sinner that there ever was, and Christ saved me, he can save you as well. Okay? That's what Paul is trying to say. I consider myself the worst sinner that there ever was, but Christ saved me. So he can save you too. So I want to look at a little bit more from Romans 7 through 12 and see what Paul means about the law and sin. Paul is saying that without the law, we don't know that we're sinning. Okay? People, you know, let's take an inner city drug dealer that, you know, he's never been to church in his life, you know, never heard anything about church, doesn't know anything about God. The only time that he would talk about God or Jesus is when he's swearing, and he knows nothing. But then if somebody could sit down with that person and show him, you know, well, this is what is right and this is what is wrong, you know, now his eyes are becoming open, and so he knows that he's sinning, because before he was just doing what everybody else did, maybe what his parents did, grandparents, brothers and sisters, everybody he knows on the street, you know, he's just doing the same thing everybody else was doing, and so he just thought that's the way it was. People want to take the Ten Commandments out of public places, out of schools, out of courthouses, you know, you name it. They don't want the Ten Commandments there. But they don't realize that it's the Ten Commandments that's the foundation for all of our laws today. Okay, if you look at the basic laws that we have, you know, the Ten Commandments are right there over and over and over again. But like Paul said, before I knew about the law, I didn't know it was wrong to take things. He's not condemning the law. He's saying, or excuse me, he's not saying that the law is no longer needed, as some people think, but listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." So he's saying, I didn't come to replace the law, didn't come to get rid of it. I've come to fulfill it. So Jesus is impressing on us the importance of the law of Moses. Well, let's look a little further into Romans 7. Look at verses 13 and 14. Paul says this, "Does this mean that something that is good brought death to me? No. Sin used something that is good to bring death to me. This happened so that I could see what sin is really like. The command was used to show that sin is very evil. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am not spiritual, since sin rules me as if I were its slave." Can you relate to what Paul's saying? Do you ever feel like sin is ruling you? You know, not all the time. You know, you don't go to the store and steal every time you go to the store. You don't, you know, beat your kids every time you see them. You know, you don't. But, you know, sometimes sin takes over and maybe you do those things. So not all the time, not every day, but those times. And you know what I mean. Those times that you can justify what it is that you're doing. Okay, you say, well, you know, if he did this, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Or if she would stop doing that, then I wouldn't have to do this. So it's those times when you think, who's going to know? Who's going to know what it is that I'm doing? I'm the only one here. You know, I can take this and nobody's going to know. I can go to this place and, you know, I'm in a different city far away from home and nobody's going to know. But if we're honest, those are the times when we feel like we're a slave to sin. The times that we think or we say, how could I have made such a dumb mistake? How could I think I could get away with this? How could I think that this was right in any way? What was I thinking? Or was I thinking? Really, I'm no more than a slave to the sin, and I'm letting it rule me. I'm letting it have its way with me. Well, now let's look at verses 15 to 20. And some of this can be confusing, so I'm going to maybe break it up. And let's just look at 15 and 16. Paul says, I do not understand the things I do. I do not do what I want to do. And I do the things I hate. All right, let me read that again. I do not understand the things I do. I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things that I hate. Okay, and it goes on. And if I do not want to do the hated things I do, that means that I agree that the law is good. Okay, I'll read that one more time. And if I do not want to do the hated things that I do, that means I agree that the law is good. Okay. So, verse 15, I can relate to, I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things I hate. I can relate to that. How often do you do some things that you hate? Things that you know that they're wrong. Things that you know that you should not be doing them. Well, if you're like me, much more often than what I will admit. But verse 16 gives us some hope because Paul is saying, I recognize that what I'm doing is wrong. And that's a great thing. And I think that is something that develops as we grow in the Lord. Okay, I've been a believer for 40 years. There's things that 39 years ago that I would have done and thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'll just go ahead and do it. But now, and even before now, I think, no way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. I wouldn't do that. So I'm becoming more aware of things that are wrong in my life. Because what that means is that God is speaking to us and trying to get us to go in the right direction. Get us to go in his direction. Because it's us seeing our weaknesses and knowing that that's the first step to dealing with them and are becoming more like Christ. Just like an alcoholic. You know, they say you can't deal with the fact that you're an alcoholic until you admit that you're an alcoholic or a drug addict. Or a food addict, or a sex addict, whatever it might be, you've got to recognize that it's a problem. You've got to recognize that it's wrong. So, in verses 17 to 20, Paul shares another realization that he's had, one that we need to have. Because this is what he says, but I am not really the one who is doing these hated things. It is sin living in me that does them. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things that I want to do, but I do the bad things that I do not want to do. So, if I do things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is the sin living in me that does those things. Okay, like I said, that can be confusing. Read 15 to 20 on your own. a few times in a couple different translations and get the meat that's there. But Paul isn't saying, you know, that he's got a split personality. You know, that if he gets arrested, he can say, well, it wasn't me. It was Fred that did these things. You know, not me. But what he's saying is there's that part of us that still wants to sin. Because it's just there. And, you know, it's always going to be there. Hopefully that part gets smaller and weaker. Because we have a part of us that knows right from wrong. And sometimes that part chooses wrong. That part of us that chooses to sin. Now let me give you 21 to 25. And this may shed a little more light on it, or maybe not. But listen to Paul's words here. He says, so I have learned this rule. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. In my mind, I am happy with God's law. But I see another law working in my body, which makes war against the law that my mind accepts. That other law working in my body is the law of sin, and it makes me its prisoner. What a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death? I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in my mind, I am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful self, I am a slave to the law of sin. And the New Living Translation, what Paul is talking about here, he calls it our sin nature. Then we have a sin nature, that's just the way we are. And from Genesis on, we can see this is sin nature working in people. When Eve was confronted with a serpent, and she took of the fruit, and then was confronted by God, what'd she do? She lied. Adam lied. Okay, when Cain was jealous of Abel, he murdered. When the earth began to populate, it sinned and it sinned and it sinned. And Noah was the only man that was free of it at that time. But sometimes we find ourselves sinning, and sometimes we find ourselves choosing to sin. There's a big difference. And Paul was trying to illustrate that to us. Now, I believe, and you may or may not agree with me, because in a way that doesn't seem fair. But I believe that God sees sin as sin. Okay, that it doesn't make any difference. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. It says, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said, you must not murder. So if you murder someone, but do not commit adultery, you've still broken the law. Okay, and here where it says the royal law, it's meaning the sovereign. You know, you need to obey the sovereign law. So it's easy to sin. So easy to sin. But praise God, it is so easy to be forgiven. Let me share the words to a great song by Elevation Worship. It's called Come to the Altar. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the Father. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is the Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is the Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. That one line, O come to the altar, the Father's arms. The Father's arms are open wide. How true that is. Do you need forgiveness? His arms are open wide, ready to forgive, ready to guide, ready to remind, not remind you of your sin, remind you of the things that you've learned, remind you of his Son. His arms are open wide to love. You know, it's impossible to fathom the love that God has for us. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. New Living Translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. New King James. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have the whole and lasting life. In the Message. I have 3 sons and a daughter. I have 6 grandchildren. I would find it very, very difficult to sacrifice one of them for other people. I would find it impossible to sacrifice one of them for people that hated me or hated them or hated what we stood for. But I'm not God. God did that, fulfilling the plan that he had before creation. When he created the earth and he made man and woman, he knew that someday his Son was going to come to earth and give up his life on the cross, the most horrific death that there was. And Jesus knew that that day was coming too, when he would be the one that would face that death. But that was part of the plan. That's part of the plan for you and me. Like it says in John 3:16, that God gave us his one and only Son, that if you believe in him, that you won't be lost, but have eternal life. That's what you need to believe, that God did that. He sent his Son to die for your sins, my sins, everybody's sins. And know that he rose from the dead, and he's coming back again someday. You need to believe that in your heart. And then you need to ask for forgiveness for the sin in your life. And then tomorrow ask for forgiveness for the sin in your life. And the next day. Because we all sin and we all need forgiveness. But it's always there. In Jesus' name. Amen.